This Memorial Day, as America approaches the 25th anniversary of 9/11, the Tunnel to Towers Foundation paid off the mortgages on 26 homes for Gold Star families and families of fallen first responders across 13 states. In tribute to the 343 FDNY firefighters lost on 9/11, Tunnel to Towers has committed to delivering 343 mortgage-free homes this year. Their courage will never be forgotten. Join us. Donate $11 a month at T2T.org.
Honey, what are you listening to?
Mom!
Your teen might not share everything with you, but teens share everything with each other. And certain everyday behaviors, like sharing food, drinks, or kisses, could mean sharing bacteria that can cause meningococcal disease known as meningitis. Although meningitis is uncommon, about 1 in 10 who develop it will die. Ask your teen's doctor about missing meningitis vaccinations. Learn more at meningitis.com. Vaccination may not protect all recipients. Sponsored by GSK.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to One Nation. I'm Brian Kilmeade. Hope you had a fantastic weekend. It's going to end strong. Look at this lineup we have for you. If the Republicans are going to hold the House and the Senate, they're going to thank that man, James Blair. He's going to tell us the secret to what he hoped is a successful journey. Larry Kudlow, why is the price of oil going down but gas not going down twice as quick? He's going to tell us about that. And Taylor Twellman is going to break down the U.S.'s chances of going all the way. Yes, coming here to New York, New Jersey for the final on the 19th. But first, the fastest, most impactful monologue in America. We begin with the long game. Now, if you're surprised by Democratic Socialists winning the New York primary this week, you have not been paying attention. This did not happen overnight. This was years in the making. One primary at a time, one safe district at a time, one generation of candidates at a time. And it's not even the only state this is happening to. Take a look at the yellow. That's not a joke. Socialists are winning races across the country, from city halls to state legislatures and now U.S. Congress. But in New York, it started with a young bartender who shocked the political world. I can still remember watching the results coming in this election day, seeing a young candidate nobody thought could win and thinking, she can't beat Joe Crowley. He's supposed to be the next speaker. She beat Joe Crowley. And then everything changed. At first, many Democrats said, hey, don't worry about it. It's a fluke. Even Nancy Pelosi brushed it off.
Made a choice in one district. So let's not get yourself carried away.
She was wrong. AOC just didn't win the seat. She opened a door. And before long, through that door came the squad. When what started as four or five members of Congress quickly became the largest party in Congress. And their message wasn't subtle. They said America, not great. They portrayed Israel, the villain. They began combining with Islamists. Kind of scary. They pushed democratic socialism as the answer. And they argued that the problem was success, that billionaires and millionaires were the enemy.
You can't earn $1 billion.
That's right.
You just can't earn that.
That's exactly correct.
You can get market power. You can break rules. You can do all sorts of things. You can abuse labor laws.
Yep.
You can pay people less than what they're worth.
Yep.
You can earn $1 million and $1 billion, but I don't want to slow her down. Their big mistake was letting America's wacky uncle, I'm talking about the Democratic Party, Bernie Sanders, into their party to begin with. He's not a Democrat. He shouldn't be in the party. He's always been a socialist. He's been on the fringe, but he mentored the squad. Then his ideas started moving into the mainstream.
What is going on all over this country is progressives are on the march. And I was just before I left the office, I saw Fox Television and their headlines. The end of the world is coming. Progressives are winning elections. Socialism is taking over the world.
We don't have any banners that say the end of the world is coming, but I appreciate him watching Fox. So whether you call the progressive them progressives like he does or socialists, which he is, doesn't matter because this is not about one person. It was about shifting an entire party. Now, the ideas that were once considered kooky are winning primaries. They're no longer trying to pull the Democratic to the left. They're on the left. And in many places, they are going to stay on the left. Even moderate Democrats are starting to push back now. This week, a group of House Dems launched a centrist pledge, declaring that they're capitalists, not socialists, and not anti-Israel. They see what's happening to their party. They're trying to stop it. This new wave isn't just progressive. It's saying things that even the squad once would not say.
And we have to use every tool in the toolbox to make sure that we abolish ICE
and keep our immigrant neighbors safe.
Work continues, my friends. Solidarity forever. Abolish ICE. Free Palestine.
Solidarity, it doesn't end at the Hudson or at the Potomac. Our solidarity stretches out to Cuba and Venezuela, and it stretches to Gaza.
If I had more time, I'd play cuts where they're saying abolish the border, let everybody in, yes, and abolish prisons. Those comments aren't just raising eyebrows on the right. They're making Democrats nervous, too.
You have a real wave happening. Joe, I think the Democratic Party, and you've got now two Democratic Socialists, is taking on an overall persona. This is where the energy is in the party. You and I can agree to disagree on this. I believe the Democratic Party overall is going too hard left. I believe there is anti-Semitism in there. We'll save that for another day. But I believe this is a branding issue for the Democrats that they are going to have to answer for.
This is a battle between the establishment and this insurgency. And the roof is collapsing on the Democratic Party establishment tonight.
No question. But here's the thing. This movement isn't talking peaking. They're not. They're talking about expanding.
They assume that my ambition is a title or a seat. And my ambition is way bigger than that.
King of the universe? What is bigger than that, by the way? This movement isn't thinking about the next election. It's thinking about the next generation. One thing is clear. The Democratic Party is having a very different conversation than it was 8 years ago. I would say even 2 years ago. And if this week proved anything, it's that the long game isn't over yet, which is exactly why our next guest decided to leave that party. All right, so that's how I feel. And joining us now to expand on that, former West Virginia senator and governor, he's turned one from Democrat to independent, Joe Manchin. Senator, great to see you. So we kind of laid out what happened this week. Some people want to say blue bubble, but when you look around the country, it's not a bubble. I look at the mayor in Washington. I look at the mayor in Seattle. I see who's running for Senate in Michigan. Where's your former party at?
Well, let's look at the whole picture. Let's start with New York, because I know that's where we're going to. That's the most talked about. It's not surprising at all what happened, Brian. When you start looking at the demographics of what we're dealing with, the parties, both parties, Democrat and Republicans, wanted total control. And that meant they can control the primaries and close them down. New York is totally closed down. Totally closed down. So basically, people, independents, no party affiliation. And when you think about it, Valdez won with 15% of turnout. Chauvier won with 16% of turnout. And Lander won with 18%. So the highest turnout of voters participating in that election was 18%. And everyone's saying that's representing the entire Democratic Party, or it's changing. No different than MAGA having control of the Republican Party. So you have traditional Republicans, traditional Democrats that don't identify with the extremes of both parties today. That's what you're dealing with. So you know what? Open the primaries up. Have an open primary. Make sure that a person that gets elected has a majority, not a plurality. So New York is totally closed. New York has lost 300,000 Democrats. They've gone now, and independents have gained 300,000. The party has gotten wanted control. They've gotten so much control, they've lost control. And now the wings of the party, the extreme wings of the party, have taken over both. So unless this changes, unless the Democrats start understanding from the leadership, if you will, open your primaries. Right. Don't have closed primaries. Make sure people have majorities to win.
Senator, I like that point. It's unique, but it's almost traditional in that when the Tea Party rose, they said they want less spending. They wanted more defense spending. Like, so they had different elements, but they were pro-American. When you have the far right, I think, has huge problems, the podcast crowd. I get that. But what worries me about your former party is that they're anti-Israel. They seem to not like this country. And they don't like our economic philosophy of socialism. That's the issue. I don't think it's like more social spending, less social spending, Bill Clinton days. I think it's a situation where they don't seem like the country they're in, like they're in.
I totally agree. That's why I'm not a Democrat. There's no way that I could accept that type of philosophy. And giving that much attention to a very small percentage, thinking they're speaking for the entire Democratic Association or the Democratic affiliation.
But is it rising?
However people might be.
Senator, is it rising? Is it increasing?
I don't know if it's rising. It's right. And And Brian, in voice, it sure is. And the attention it's getting from the press, it sure is. And MAGA has total control now, it seems, of the Republican Party. But with that being said, the only way you're going to change this is open the system up.
Yep.
When you think about it, no one ever talks about is a better representation if we redistrict. Redistricting is done strictly for the power of the parties, not by giving people better representation. It doesn't even talk about the people. The people have been taken out of the Constitution for the people, by the people, for the people. It's not even resonating anymore.
Senator, I think you're right.
And I've said,
open it up would certainly help. And gerrymandering is something that's been with us since day one. It's got problems. But do you think the party made a big mistake when they accepted Bernie Sanders and his philosophy, even though he wasn't even in your party? And next thing you know, he is now the godfather, the most powerful figure, you can argue, that's giving all this or giving that megaphone to all these upstarts.
One thing you have to appreciate about Bernie, he's been true to himself and what he's believed all his life. I have never agreed or believed in what Bernie has believed in. We talked one time about education. He wanted free education. I said, Bernie, basically people should earn. There's nothing about earning. When you believe that government should be your sole provider, I believe that government should be your best partner you've ever had. But you got to get up of your butt and do something. You got to work. You got to produce. You got to earn something. When you do that, you have value to your life, to your society, to your family. We're taking that away.
But socialism also seems to have an adherence to Islamists and also anti-Semitism. Anti-Israel, anti-Semitism. Can you comment on that? Because one is a economic system, socialism. The other is what's going on here.
Yeah. There is makes no rhyme or reason or sense to this at all. I have always been pro-Israel, and I will always be pro-Israel. But Israel also has to have some guardrails explaining more detail, compassion, things of that sort. But we have to support, and we will support, Israel. As they've been told me, I've been there many times. They said, Joe, I live in a tough neighborhood. Well, in a tough neighborhood, you got to do everything you can to be a good neighbor. But when not, then you've got to be firm. And that's what they are. With that being said, then the whole Middle East has to change. They have to all basically say, we are not going to accept any type of violence. And the Iran, it's yet to be seen what's coming out. It doesn't look good no matter what happens. We have given Iran more attention, more status, if you will, worldwide than ever before they have ever had. That was not intended. I know that the president didn't want that to be done. So how do we control that? We cannot have them have a nuclear weapon. They can't have control of any shape, way, or form. And I've said this before. I was one of the Democrats, one of the four Democrats, that voted against the JCPOA that President Obama. And you know why? We were giving them money before they earned their way back into civility to where they would be good neighbors, world neighbors. And now I'm hoping that doesn't happen again. And let me just tell you that 47% of the people identify themselves as independents. They have to take, and all of you on your shows talk about independence, because independence is where you win or lose elections.
But 62% of Democrats say they prefer socialism over capitalism.
Then by God, there's not a Democratic Party left. That's crazy. That is crazy.
It's true.
That is absolutely insane.
It's not a Fox poll.
If you want to ask me, well, that's another reason why I'm not registered as a Democrat. I can't put up with that crazy shit. That's nuts. And I've told him that. I said, when you believe that the government should take care of you and you don't want to get up, I was asked by Elizabeth Warren, what's happened to the West Virginia Democrats? Why we lose all the union? I said, you've lost the union workers. You lost the working people of America because they believe the Democratic Party in Washington spends more time, effort, and resources on able-bodied, capable people that don't work or won't work than those that still are working trying to make a living. That's it in a nutshell. I can't give it to you any plainer than that.
I'll tell you, I'd feel a lot better if you were still in Washington, but I'm happy for you. You're not. Senator, always great to see you. Thanks so much.
You talk about the Democrat socialists. It's really communist. That's these people. It should make it easier for Republicans because most of the nation is composed of sane people. They don't want to. You know, if you look throughout history, go back thousands of years, you've always had socialism and communism by different names. It's never, ever worked. It's not going to work this time.
All right, President Trump weighing in on the impact of the rise of socialism that socialism is having in America. But how can the GOP really use these socialist primary wins to their advantage in the midterms and beyond come November? Let's ask senior political advisor to President Trump, James Blair. James, I guess it's on your shoulders to take that socialist message and see if it's going to help the GOP. How do you message this?
Well, I think you have to get past the label of socialism and talk about the positions that these people are actually espousing as their goals in Congress. They include things like completely getting rid of immigration enforcement. Abolishing borders is literally one of their platform positions. They don't think we should deport anybody from this country, not even criminals. And where does Hakeem Jeffries stand on this? I mean, I think for a guy who ostensibly wants to win the House and becomes the Speaker, is he courting their votes for Speaker? Is he going to seat them in the caucus? Is he going to allow these positions that are anti-American, anti-patriotic to proliferate? I mean, one of these women ran an organization who has an explicit goal of bringing violence to America. They said they want to translate the Palestinian resistance movement into violence and social unrest in America. This is who the Democrat Party is caucusing with to try to gain power. And where is their leadership on that? I think they have to answer that question.
Well, a couple of things. I just saw that some Democrats came out and said we are about 17 strong. Maybe they're going to grow those numbers and say we are capitalist and we're pro-American and not anti-Semitic. Who do you believe, the ones that won on Tuesday or the ones that are combining to push back today?
Well, look, I look forward to that group of Democrats switching to the Republican Party then, because that's not where apparently a large group of their voters are. It's not where their leadership is. It's not the positions they're running on. I mean, for the record, everything that they're saying, you know, one of these women, they talk about things like child tax credits. Okay, this is something that Republicans agree with. Well, guess what? Every Democrat in the current Congress voted against the child tax credit that we increase. In fact, they voted to cut the child tax credit. So, look, there's probably a few things we agree on, but the fact is the leadership of their party is going to cow to the far-left voters. And so, like I said, 17, by the way, very small number for a large group of Democrats in Congress. That tells you all you need to know. But we look forward to welcoming them to the Republican Party.
So tell me if you agree with this. They say there's the Cook Report says there's 43 districts listed as battlegrounds. 23 the Dems are defending, 20 you're defending, 18 they looked at as toss-ups. Is that the numbers you're working with? And if so, what is the overall message?
Yeah, I think that's the ballpark. Look, if you look at Cook today, it says Republicans are favored in 212, Democrats are favored in 205, 18 toss-ups. We hold 14 of them right now. They hold four. Obviously, the magic number is 218. The real question is, do you want anything to get done in the next 2 years? You have two choices. If the Democrats are in power, they have said very clearly their goal is total gridlock. They want nothing to happen. They're just going to block, deny, stop. They want nothing to happen. If Republicans are in power, we're going to keep making steady progress to cut taxes, lower the cost of living, hold big insurance corporations accountable, try to give people what they need and what they voted for. The Democrats are just going to prevent anything from getting done. And that's the real question. Do you want total gridlock in Washington or do you want steady progress to be made?
All right. So if you look at the 35 races in the Senate, 9 they say are competitive. Let's look at some of them. First off, let's look at Maine, where Susan Collins is still trailing to Graham Plattner, who is an outright socialist. He called himself a communist. He's got the worst personal biography I've ever seen on any candidate ever, along with the worst tattoo I've ever heard about. Thankfully, I didn't have to witness it in person. How is Susan Collins trailing?
I think Susan Collins is going to win that race. I mean, it depends on what polls you look at, whether or not she's trailing. I think she's going to win that race. I don't think the voters of Maine are going to send a guy there who ultimately, aside from his many personal shortcomings and his obviously long history of grotesque and inappropriate behavior towards women, towards everybody, towards veterans, he just has no plan. I mean, this is a guy that just complains. All he does is complain. He spent his life complaining on internet forums. He's not done anything in his life. He's not built anything. And he's not not going to bring anything to the people of Maine. So to the degree he's trying to channel rage, obviously, some people may support that. But he has no plan to make the people of Maine's life better. And I think that will cost him in the election.
So when we look at Michigan, Mike Rogers, one of the finest Republican candidates I've seen, barely lost the last time around. Almost reminds me of Dave McCormick against Dr. Oz. He came back and won. But Rogers lost by just a half a percentage point to Elise Slotkin. But now he's trailing or up by 1 point against a guy that seems to be the front runner there, and that's Abdul El Sayed. He's got some extreme views, seems very anti-American, pals around with a podcaster that basically says we deserve 9/11. So why is it if Mike Rogers barely lost to a center left, Elise Slotkin, why is he within a percentage point here? How do you view this race? Has Michigan changed?
No, I think the fact is a lot of Michigan voters aren't as educated as we all here in the sport of political spectating are about what these candidates' positions are. And I think that will be litigated in the general election very robustly. And I think as Michiganders get to know that candidate particularly in his actual positions, I think they'll reject it. I mean, the challenge for Republicans is to simply make clear how far to the left these Democrats are in all of the policy ideas that they are laying out, as I said at the top of the segment. If they are allowed to get away with convincing voters that they're somehow moderates or normal people, then they're going to win races they shouldn't. But as long as we make clear that we're the party of common sense and they are the party that is woke, weak, and way too liberal, the center of the electorate is going to reject them. And I think that's true in Michigan, just like it is in Maine.
If one thing we can count on is Iran to start screwing around in the straight, and that's probably going to happen throughout the summer. They know our election cycle. Does James Blair have a plan if oil and gas go up?
Well, first of all, I don't think you're going to see oil and gas go up. And I think you've already seen the markets react to the fact that even though there was a little skirmish there, oil is flowing through the strait and prices are coming down. And we feel good about that. The president's also made clear that he's not going to stand for oil companies price gouging, you know, in an opportune moment. And I think that's a great message that we'll take to the voters. If we see that happening, they're going to regret the choice they made to do that. And ultimately, I think we'll be successful.
All right, James, I know how hard you work, how much pressure is on your shoulders. We appreciate the time on One Nation. Have a great day. Meanwhile, next, President Trump has a bone to pick with oil and gas companies, as James just mentioned, and defense contractors. We're going to talk to Larry Kudlow about what the reality check is all about and how those meetings went inside the Oval Office. And by the way, be sure to catch me on tour, Pensacola, Florida, my next stop, July 11th. I want to meet you in person. New dates coming up in the fall, and you're seeing them right there, Jacksonville, Clearwater, St. Louis, Missouri, Red Bank, New Jersey, and Westbury, Long Island. BrianKilmeade.com. Hi, everyone. It's Brian Kilmeade here. Are you tired of those uncomfortable dress shirts, especially when they bunch up under a sweater? If so, then you must check out Collars & Co., makers of the Dress Collar Polo. Listen up. These shirts are four-way stretch, buttery soft polos with firm dress collars on them, so they give you the dress shirt look, but extremely comfortable polo feel. You can wear them with anything, under a sweater, with a blazer, or by themselves as an elevated polo. They work for any occasion. These polos are perfect, whether it's in the office, on a golf course, or a night out. Collars & Co. is exploding and have gone viral on social media thanks to the $1 million investment they received on Shark Tank from Mark Cuban and Peter Jones. You don't have to worry about collars that flop down and spread out. They stay firm and sharp all day. It's an amazing array of sweaters, quarter zips, pants, and outerwear. If you're looking for the performance dress shirt or polo that looks great all day, check out collarsandco.com. Use promo code Brian for 15% off of any purchase of $100 or more. That's promo code Brian.
It's ExxonMobil, it's Chevron, it's Shell, it's BP, it's a lot of them. The gasoline or the oil prices have come down so much, and we are not seeing anything at the pump by comparison to what it should be. We should be, in my opinion, at $2.25 right now. The oil companies are possibly gouging. I hope they're not. Otherwise, they're going to be in big trouble.
They better not be. President Trump pulling no punches over prices at the pump, saying they should fall a lot quicker. He wants the DOJ to investigate, but they're declined to say if they would or not, or even launch a probe. Joining us now, Larry Kudlow. He's the same Larry Kudlow who hosts Kudlow on Fox Business, the number one ranked show in all of all business television.
Thank you,
Larry. Larry, you watch the president.
Yeah.
So is he right? Are they gouging? Is he haranguing?
I just want to say I've seen this movie before.
Right.
When I worked there in the first term. He's just giving him a little push. He's just kind of digging at him a little bit. You know, they all big oil, you know, bless their souls. They're great companies. But they're all out there. They didn't really have his back a month or two ago. Their CEOs were talking about $200, $250, no inventories. Didn't happen. It didn't happen. Oil is $69, a drop below. So what he's saying is translate this into gasoline prices. Now, here's the traders call this rockets and feathers. Okay, you're on the
right. I'm with you.
Unfortunately, gasoline prices will rocket up, but they're feathery. They come down very slowly. All right, because you're buying gasoline wholesale, and the price. Doesn't the price may be dropping, but you bought it a couple of weeks ago, so you got to cover it. Okay, you got to cover. It's called the crack spread. You got to cover that. So it does lag. Okay. However, we're seeing this time around much faster implementation from wholesale to retail.
Does it help, Larry? Because these are your friends. A lot of these CEOs to have the president eyeball you in the Oval Office and say,
yes.
Don't tell me that. I want him to drop. I just want you to do it.
And
does that help?
I think it does help a little bit. It's really sort of a generic PR policy. You know, he wants people to understand that oil prices are coming down, and it's a terrific story. And they're dropping. They're now below $4. You'll have it by the end of the summer, Brian. You'll probably be close to $3. Okay,
wow.
At pump. Now remember one little thing though on this rockets and feathers. It's the individual gas stations all around the country that really set the price. So even though wholesale's coming down,
right.
You gotta wait for them. Like Shell and Chevron and Exxon, they don't actually call up the gas station. So you have to be patient. But he's sending an important message.
But we hope the guy across the street gets the guy across the street
down. And it will. That's exactly right.
Here's what Chevron said. He said, we're all concerned about prices. There's a lot of empathy for consumers. It's going to take time, though. This is a lag between oil prices and reductions when the show's up at the pump. But we expect the price will come down as things continue.
You're going to hit $3.50 soon. You're going to hit $3 soon. That's Mike
Worth. Roughly $3.90.
I think we're at roughly $3.90, and that's, you know, it's dropping 15%. But in the open market, I mean, look, West Texas crude, which is our benchmark, you know, that thing's down, what, 30-35%. So you're going to want to see that will translate at the pump.
So I want to get to defense contractors,
one more
too,
thing.
But I want to get about OPEC.
This is a great story. There is Kudlow's prediction. There's a production war, an oil production war that's happening, and it's going to drop oil prices even more, and that'll hit the gasoline pump, too. You've got essentially the breakup of OPEC, okay? So hear me out. The UAE, which has already left OPEC, they want to produce. They're at 2 million barrels a day. They can go to 5 million barrels a day. Iraq, believe it or not, they're at about 1.5 million barrels a day. They want to go to 4 to 5 million barrels a day. Venezuela, which was doing nothing, now is doing about 1 million barrels a day, can easily get to 2.5 million barrels a day. And here in the States, we're doing 13.5 million barrels a day on our way to 15 million. So you have this production, open market competition. The cartel of OPEC is breaking up. The Saudis, you know, and the UAE are building east-west pipelines to ship oil through, so they don't have to worry about Hormuz. So what I'm saying is, oil is coming down. The price is coming down a lot, and that's going to translate into the ordinary gasoline at the pump at your neighborhood station.
Here's what worries me.
I love the story.
I know. The other thing, real quick, the major defense contractors were called into the Oval Office for the second time in 4 months and said, pick up the pace.
Well,
now, is
right.
it because they're not getting paid quick enough? Are they doing this to maximize their profits? What's going on?
I don't know exactly. Here's the thing. Hegseth, War Secretary Pete Hegseth, wants, what, 80 million, how much money? $87 billion. $87 billion. He needs money because of the war. Okay, so this is for operations. This is for munitions. This is for, we got hit, some of the embassies got
sure.
hit, and so forth. We should get that money done. Congress, the Democrats are opposing it. Rosa DeLauro in the House, Patty Murray in the Senate on the Appropriations Committee, they're stalling out. We need the $85 billion, whatever it is, $87 billion. All right. That would probably help the contractors, okay? But the other thing is, President Trump, a former businessman, you know, he understands how the world works. Sometimes you got to push people.
Yep.
You just have to push people to get done what you need
done. And tap into their patriotism. Larry, that's what, hey, listen, do it for the country and have the Defense Production Act expedite the whole thing. This is why Kudlow is so great. Every day at 4 o'clock Eastern time.
I'm waiting for this production. We're going to get, you know what? In a couple months, maybe I'll come back and we'll look at $55 barrel oil, which would translate to $1.85 at the pump.
All right.
Okay.
We're gonna tape this, and then we're going to roll it back in, and then I'm going to introduce Larry Kudlow in July. How about that?
You are Thanks, the best. You are
you.
The best.
Thank you so much. Larry, look, when you started complimenting me, I wanted to give you more time, but unfortunately, I'm up against the break. Next, only on One Nation, Abby Hornacek, another person. When you say the best, I think Abby, with the media moments that matter to her. And please check out my YouTube channel, youtube.com, at The Brian Kilmeade Show. It's all Larry keeps on in his office.
Nearly home. Isn't home where we all want to be? Reba here for Realtor.com, the pros' number one most trusted app. Finding a home is like dating. You're not just looking for a place to live, you're searching for the one. That's where Realtor.com comes in. Like any good matchmaker, they know exactly where to look. With over 500,000 new real listings straight from the pros every month, you could find your perfect match today. Ranch style with a pool, barn dominium with an in-law suite, Realtor.com's got them. Modern craftsman with a big yard and a treehouse out back, Realtor.com will have you saying, yep, that's the one. No more swiping. It's time to start finding. Download the Realtor.com app today, because you're nearly home. Make it real with Realtor.com.
Pros number one most trusted app based on August 2024 proprietary survey. Over 500,000 new listings every month based on average new for sale and rental listings. February 2024 through January 2025.
Welcome to Fox News Live. I'm Ashley Strohmeyer in New York. More than 200 million Americans are under extreme heat warnings ahead of the long 4th of July holiday weekend. On Monday, much of the South and Central U.S. will face temperatures above 90 degrees. Sweltering heat moves east on Tuesday, scorching the Midwest. Then by Wednesday, the massive heat dome will start to impact the Northeast. Many areas will face record-breaking temperatures and high humidity with high heat indexes in the triple digits. And then all eyes are on the U.S. Supreme Court this week as it wraps up its term. Several major cases still need to be decided on. Three of them test the limits of presidential powers, including an executive order on birthright citizenship. There's also two important election-related cases and one involving a crackdown by states on transgender athletes. The next rulings are set to be released tomorrow morning. I'm Ashley Strohmeyer, and I'm back to One Nation with Brian Kilmeade.
Media moments that matter.
All right, time for everyone's favorite segment. I'm talking the entire world. This week I gave my only VCR, my only TV guide, and all my cords and my tape stock, too. Fox Nation's own Abby Hornacek. Abby, great to see you.
I love doing this show so much, Brian, so thank you for having me on. Also, I know you've been watching all the World Cup games.
Yes.
So we found some things that I think you need to know about.
What do you mean? Because I've been busy watching soccer, you've been busy watching the media.
Yeah, I think we should switch. I'm going to watch soccer next time.
Okay, good.
All right, on to topic one. Bill Maher had Representative Ro Khanna on his show.
He wants to run for president.
He wants to run for, of course. So he was praising Mamdani for his post-Knicks win speech, saying, oh, he has this ability to bring all New Yorkers together on both sides of the aisle. But Bill Maher said, hold on one second. One speech doesn't negate all of the problematic things that Mamdani has done. So take a listen here.
You think Mamdani's a great one, huh?
I do. I mean, did you see his Knicks speech? I mean,
issue that most concerned me. I don't need...
It's worth a watch because the speech was not just about the Knicks. First of all, he, like, recites every Knicks player. I mean, I couldn't do that about
Who
the 49ers.
Gives a about the Knicks. He's the mayor of New York.
Well, yeah, but he talks about how it's actually bringing people together, Trump voters, Mamdani voters, how it's overcoming the odds. And he took a speech that was just about celebrating the championship, and he made something bigger about it.
Okay.
He's a talented
Okay. Well, it doesn't make me forget that his wife loved October 7th attack on Israel and that he pals around with terrorists.
No, come on. Have you had him on the show?
We ask people like that, Ro. They never come.
I'll talk to him. I think
I would love
come.
That.
You like Mamdani now just because he gave a rah-rah speech, Brian?
Well, why is it that that congressman, who used to be so logical and middle of the road, could understand that there is a downside to this socialist who really calls what's happening in Gaza genocide and seems to not like the country?
Yeah, it's great Bill Maher called him out, though.
Right. It's fantastic.
I do think sports have an ability to bring people together, but I think it's the sport that does that. Maybe the fact that the Knicks won after 53 years. Not sure it's really Mamdani's speech that
I'm
did
pretty
that.
Sure, even though he wore a jersey to his next speech, which is ridiculous.
All right. So I know you watch a lot of sports on a topic, too. Do you watch any Taylor Sheridan shows? Like
Absolutely.
Yellowstone, Lioness? Okay, great.
Yeah.
So the guy's awesome. He went on Joe Rogan. They talked for 3+ hours, as Joe Rogan does. And this is one of the topics they covered. Take a listen.
This is why, you know, Tulsi Gabbard and her final act as director of national intelligence as she's leaving, she gave that press conference about Fauci. Mm-hmm.
I've never seen anything as flagrantly obvious as COVID coming from the Wuhan lab studying COVID.
If you said it came from Wuhan, China, from a lab, you're a racist.
Yeah.
Like, how did you pull that off?
It's how this became a left or right
so
issue.
So stupid.
When Fauci, who's a career bureaucrat, he's been there for 50 years.
Yeah, he's been there
this
forever.
Dude, it's not political. It shouldn't be political. There shouldn't be a right-left side to this. It's, hey, a career bureaucrat f***ing lied to us.
And, you know, it's amazing. With all the shows he's done, he did notice when it came to the pandemic that Fauci, now all this stuff's been exposed and Tulsi Gabbard did it, it showed that he was commissioning studies to back up what he thought, and then he would tell it to the intelligence agencies. The intelligence agency says, you're not being investigated. You're going to be our guiding light. So this has all been exposed, and nobody is writing about it, talking about it.
No, they're not. And I think the reason people like Taylor Sheridan's shows so much is that the guy is full of common sense.
Right.
And you heard it right there.
All right.
All right. Last topic. Are you sad it's almost over? Should I stretch this one?
No, you know what? It involves something else. There's very few people had a worse week than Akeem Jeffries.
Yeah.
And here's one of the reasons.
Take a look.
Prices have come down at a level very similar to what the president said they would.
Well, first of all, the price of oil should have never skyrocketed to begin with. That's number one. Number two, perhaps even more importantly, prior to this reckless and costly war of choice being launched by Donald Trump, the price of gasoline was $2.98. Right now, it is $4.20. That's the average price right now, as of today.
Yeah, it was so under four.
Everyday Americans are feeling that pain. In a way that perhaps doesn't
there's a national
hit the same
average,
way
Akeem.
For people who are wealthy, well-off, and well-connected.
It's 393 today, the national average, so it's not 420.
Good for Joe Kernan for calling him out. I love how he's interrupting him, and then he's like, let's just take the board.
Right.
Take a look. That's the real price.
Because you put yourself in the control room, right? Because
yeah,
you know exactly,
exactly
what's going on.
Yeah.
We can't get a word in, so we'll jump in on the politician. Abby, thanks so much for coming down. I can't picture three better sound bites.
Wow,
you worked
that
out.
Means a lot to me. Thanks, Brian.
I have my last request. Can you return the VCR? I've had a problem with
it. I don't know. I think I'll keep it.
No. She's got to return it. All right? Abby, great to see you. And check out her stuff on Fox Nation. It's unbelievable. Next, World Cup fever. The U.S. team is set to move on in the tournament. What can we expect? We talked to Taylor Twellman, one of the best in the business. Don't move, even though they're frozen.
All I do is win, no matter what. Got money on my mind, I can never...
Nearly home. Isn't home where we all want to be? Reba here for Realtor.com, the pros' number one most trusted app. If you're hearing me, I'm going to assume you're awake. And if you aren't, because while you're snoozing, someone else might be finding your dream home. That's where Realtor.com comes in. With over 500,000 new real listings straight from the pros every month, that's a lot of chances to find the place you've been dreaming of. Whether you're searching for a two-story mid-century with a pool or a little extra space with a spa-inspired bathroom, Realtor.com can help you find it today. So quit hitting that snooze button. Realtor.com isn't sleeping on finding your dream home, and neither should you. Download the Realtor.com app today, 'cause you're nearly home. Make it real with Realtor.com.
Pros number one most trusted app based on August 2024 proprietary survey. Over 500,000 new listings every month based on average new for sale and rental listings. February 2024 through January 2025.
So Team USA is heading to the knockout round after winning Group D. Group stage is over. Got to win or you're out. The United States clinched first place despite a heartbreaking loss to Turkey, reminding everybody there's no margin for error. You're done if you don't win. Next up, Bosnia and Herzegovina. The European underdog surprised many by fighting their way into the top 32, led by a veteran striker and a young core playing with nothing to lose. So for the U.S., the mission is simple. Win, and you're coming in as favorites, and keep the dream of a deep run in the World Cup alive on home soil. Can the U.S. actually do it and take a step towards the quarterfinals, semifinals, and maybe get back to New York for the final? Our next guest is a former MLS MVP, had 6 goals for the U.S. national team himself. He's a lead analyst for Apple TV. Taylor Twellman joins us now. Taylor, thanks for pulling over and giving us some quality time. First off, we had a chance to see.
No problem.
You got it. First off, we had a chance to see 9 different players play for the U.S. national team on Thursday night. Were you impressed with the quality of play from the bench?
I wasn't surprised by the play from the bench. I think some of the players were a little underwhelming, if I'm being honest. You know, I don't think Timothy Weah, Brendan Aaronson, McKenzie, Miles Robinson, they didn't play at their best and their full potential. And so, listen, the result was inconsequential to the World Cup, but the performance was meaningful because I think Pochettino got answers on what players he can count on in a knockout stage and what players are ready for the moment. I'm not sure when he watches that tape 2 days, 3 days later before the game on Wednesday, I'm not sure he's going to like some of the answers, Brian. But the reality is he got answers, and now he knows who is on his roster he can count on.
All right, tell me, you're the pro, but Sebastian Berhalter, to me, that's the reason why he's the first off the bench. He might find himself in the starting lineup. And Joe Scally, I thought he was great on the outside. And I wonder what you thought what else you saw out there.
Yeah, I think it's important to realize that Sebastian Berhalter is the first guy off the bench for a reason. And while many people on social media will tell you otherwise, Pochettino and his staff and the players react to Sebastian Berhalter. Fantastic goal to tie the game. I thought Trusty was good. You know, he scored a good goal. He was solid. He was decent. I was a little surprised at how underwhelming Aaronson and Timothy Weah were. I think in some part that was because they were playing on the wrong sides. I would have Timothy Weah playing on the right. I would have Brendan Aaronson on the left. I also would have thought about Max Arfstrom playing as a left wing back. I don't think Berhalter gets into the first 11 because that means you're taking out Weston McKennie or Tyler Adams. And you and I both know they're not doing that.
Yep.
So the 11 looks good. I think the 13 or 14 guys, he's got ideas. I think if there's a question mark, it's can the back line defend? And can they find a goal off the bench? They didn't really get anyone off the bench. Now, starting in that game against Turkey, they didn't impress well enough to give you confidence that they can score coming off the bench.
I hear you. So they're going against Bosnia and Herzegovina. I can count on one hand how many people outside soccer circles have seen them play. You have. Would you be surprised if they won?
No. Now, the United States are favored, but Bosnia is a team that is very tactically smart, pragmatic. They'll be very, very 4-4-2, 4-5-1. They'll clog up the middle. They'll try to frustrate the United States, but in a different way than Australia. Australia will claw. They'll fight. Bosnia's got a little bit more nuance to them. They've got a little bit more technical quality to them. Listen, the first 15, 20 minutes, U.S. scores the first goal. It's going to be a long day for Bosnia. If you and I are looking at the game and it's the 60th minute and it's still tied, or Bosnia somehow scores a goal and they're up, that becomes very difficult for the United States because that plays into the hands of the tactics from Bosnia.
I hear you. Taylor, it's going to be fun because after that, it'll be at the winner of, I think, Egypt and South Korea. That's a winnable game. And then who knows what happens after that. Taylor, I look forward to seeing you and getting your analysis. Thanks so much for pulling over for us. Now it's time for your sneak peek of the week. As we mentioned, we got the FIFA World Cup continues. Everyone's talking about Wednesday night. It's going to be in San Francisco, USA against Bosnia. On July 1st, we're going to talk about the Committee on Oversight Committee and Government Reform. They'll hold a hearing on combating DEI. How are we doing? And finally, we want to keep you right here on Fox News because America 250, we're celebrating the anniversary. It's all about building up to July 4th. We're going to be there Monday. We're going to be there Tuesday doing the radio show from both those both places. Meanwhile, that is it for us tonight. Be sure to order my brand new book, Uniting the States, Six Crucial Moments That Forged the American Miracle. And remember, for 3 hours every single day from 9 to noon, I want to listen to the radio show and then also always catch Fox and Friends from 6 to 9. Meanwhile, I got messages before we go, and it's just two, stay within yourself and always keep it here on Fox News. I gotta go. Gotta get ready.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. I don't know if you knew this, but anyone can get the same premium wireless for $15 a month plan that I've been enjoying. It's not just for celebrities. So do like I did and have one of your assistants switch you to Mint Mobile today. I'm told it's super easy to do at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. Intro rate first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See full terms at mintmobile.com.